You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ in others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the second Sunday of Lent, March 12, 2017, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the religious authorities. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Okay, God, here's the deal. I promise that if you'll do fill in the blank, then I'll do fill in the blank. You've done that, haven't you? Come on, sure you have. Bargained with God. Negotiated with God. It starts at an early age. "Please, God, if you'll let me get an A on this algebra test," which, by the way, I haven't studied for all that much, "then I promise I'll be a better boy." Bargaining with God. It gets a little more serious the older we get. "Okay, God, here's the deal. If you'll only make this cancer go away, I promise I'll be a better priest or a better husband or a better father or a better friend." On and on we go, trying to cut a deal with God. That's a normal human reaction to the pain of grief and the fear of loss. The great psychotherapist Elizabeth Kubler-Ross identified the 5 stages of grief many years ago. When faced with any kind of tragedy like death or with a scary diagnosis, we often have a grief reaction. And it happens, Kubler-Ross says, in 5 stages. First comes denial. "No, this can't possibly be happening. We were going to live together forever." Second comes anger. "How can this be happening? I didn't do anything to deserve this." Third comes bargaining. "Okay, God, if you'll just make me better, I promise to be a better guy." Next is depression. "God, you weren't listening. You must not be there at all. I'm alone in the universe." And finally, at last, comes acceptance. Okay, this is my new reality. Like it or not, time to get on with life. So while bargaining with God doesn't seem to be a winning strategy on its own, it might actually be an important part of a process which leads us out of the fantasy of denial and into the reality of our present moment, which, after all, is the only place we'll meet God. Right here, right now, in the midst of real life. So why am I making a big deal about bargaining with God and what a loser that is here on this second Sunday in Lent? Because it helps us to understand something that's of real importance about the nature of God. And about this important story of the calling of Abraham. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that the whole Bible turns on this story. Now that's a big claim, so let's see if I can back it up. You remember last week we heard the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. The story of the first human interaction with God didn't go all that well for the man and the woman. Given everything that was necessary for their flourishing, they couldn't follow one simple instruction. Steer clear of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the sneaky snake seduced them with the temptation to be like God, right? You remember, eat the fruit of this tree, and then you'll be like God. To judge between good and evil. To place themselves in the judgment seat and push God out of the picture. To push God into irrelevance so I can be the one who decides what's right and what's wrong. That didn't work out too well for them, did it? And then the next 8 chapters of Genesis describe the various creative ways human beings devised to disappoint God. Brother killing brother. Conspiring to build a tower reaching all the way to heaven so once again the human beings could try to be like God. Even the one human being whom God chose to keep the show going after God decided to use the flood to start all over again, old Noah. Old Noah disappoints God by getting drunk and naked in his tent, and that leads to the ruin of his family. So God decides to go in a different direction, as they say. God decides to get real specific and real personal. To focus on a couple of unlikely individuals in order to make the creation whole again. A 75-year-old childless goat herder named Abram and his barren wife Sarah are now going to be the bearers of God's promise. As I said, a very unlikely couple. Yet through them, we're going to see the 3 major themes of the Hebrew Scriptures emerge. Those 3 themes are call, covenant, and journey. So, God begins by calling Abram. And he calls him to a really strange place, an unnamed and an unknown place. And you know, the call just comes out of the blue. Abram doesn't expect it, and he sure doesn't ask for it. It just comes. And the call brings with it a promise. Abram hears God say, I'll make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and through you all the nations of the world will be blessed. And the promise is a great deal for Abram because he and Sarah in their old age lack the most important commodity that one could have in that culture, sons. That's the most important thing you could have are sons, and they didn't have it. Now, the promise is not just for Abraham and Sarah, it's for the whole world. They just get to be the carriers of the promise, the bearers of the promise. Now, this story about promise is also going to be a story about failure, and it's going to be a story about faithfulness. It's going to be a story about the failure of Abram and Sarah and their descendants to live up to the promises, to be worthy of the promises. That's on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's a story about the faithfulness of God to keep after them. You know, that's the whole story of the Hebrew, well, it's the whole story of the Bible in a nutshell. God invites us into a relationship, we screw it up, And God keeps chasing us. The faithful God is always pursuing us, always after us, always inviting us back into this covenant relationship, even when we throw up our hands and reject God. That's the story of the Bible in a nutshell. So, God keeps inviting these people back into the covenant, back into the promise, even though they're blowing it all the time. And then there's the third piece, right? The journey. The call comes, the promise gets made, the covenant is offered, but it takes a journey for the promise to come to pass. And we see it beginning right here. Abram and Sarah will go from Haran, which is in modern-day Iraq, all the way across the Fertile Crescent, down into Egypt and back again. That's the story of Genesis chapters 12 through 18. And there are lots of adventure and lots of disappointment and lots of frustration along the way, until finally, in their great old age, they have a son together, Isaac. And from Isaac comes Jacob, and from Jacob comes 12 sons who become the 12 tribes of Israel, and they each have their own journeys to make. And their own descendants have journeys to make too. And in fact, once we get to the book of Exodus, we see that that journey is going to last 40 years from Egypt into the wilderness and on to the promised land led by Moses. And then down through the generations, a very distant ancestor, a man named Jesus, son of Mary and Joseph, hears his own call. You are my son, my beloved, in you I am very pleased. Jesus hears the promise. Jesus hears the blessing that through him and through his life, all human beings, all creation, for all time, will be blessed. But first there's a journey. There's a journey into the wilderness for 40 days to confront the evil one. Then there's a journey to Jerusalem and to Golgotha to confront the forces of the empire. Out from the tomb and then on to Galilee is another journey where the promise of new life and the resurrection gets real. Now, each one of us today, we are all witnesses to this call and to this promise. You know, in the midst of this divided and conflicted world, in the midst of war and hunger and injustice and pain, we hear God calling our names. We hear God calling each one of us, you and me, into covenant. God is making a promise to each of us, you and me, and calling us on a journey. Each one of us has a different journey, but we're all being called on a journey of our own. Call, covenant, journey. It's a whole lot different from bargaining with God. God, are you there? Hey, if you do this, I'll do that. See, it just doesn't work that way. I mean, the death of a loved one is real. Cancer is real. Hatred and conflict, disappointment and the pain of loss, those are all real. We can't wish them away through magical thinking and bargaining with God. What we can do is live through them with hope and faith and courage. You know, we've been called on a journey. You've been called on a journey. And the journey you've been called on has a purpose. And the purpose and the promise of that journey that you've been called on is wholeness and healing and new life. And Lent, now, Lent is the time to slow down, to stop, to pay attention to the call. You know, the call's out there all the time. We're just mostly too busy to understand and to get it. But Lent's that time where we really are invited to stop, to pay attention, listen to the call. Lent's the time to explore the promise that comes along with the call. To really hear what that promise means. You know, it's different for every one of you. I don't know what it is for you. But it's there. I know what it is for me, but I don't know what it is for you. You're the only one who knows. But you're not gonna know until you stop and listen. And the promise doesn't mean we get everything we want. I mean, that's our magical thinking about bargaining with God. The promise does mean we get what we actually and really need, which is a relationship. A connection with something larger than we are. A purpose beyond our own egoic desires. A purpose beyond our desire to be in control and be in charge and judge everybody and get to decide what's right and what's wrong. No, we're promised a relationship with the source of life through Christ. And through Christ, real and lasting and positive relationships with our sisters and brothers. But we got to respond. We can't just sit on our backsides waiting and waiting. We got to show up. We have to go on the journey. My sisters and brothers, it's time to get moving. A journey of 1,000 miles always starts with the first step. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.